Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday morning, the 17th, my older brother's birthday today. Wow. He's a year older than I am, so I always love to just bug him. But today is a Monday morning. I think Christmas falls on next Tuesday. So Christmas Eve is a week from today. So things are just moving along. And I wanted to talk about happiness. I ran across an article that talked about not being able to have happiness, how we were taught not to accept happiness. And I thought, you know, the reason I ran across it was I was talking to someone, and things they were telling me, every time I thought they couldn't get more, I want to say, personally weird to hear and not feel bad too, but not about the person I was talking to, but about myself. Like, oh, wait, you know, that's not happening to me, and that's not happening to me, and I'm listening, and I finally said, you know, oh, my gosh, this is, like, way information overload. You know, give me some time, and I will get back to you. And I realized somewhere in there, we're either happy or we're not. There isn't a middle ground, like, well, I'm okay. Because usually when I'm okay, there's something between you and being able to feel happiness. So when I got off the phone, I said, wow, Christ, am I going to feel bad about that now? Am I going to feel bad that that's not happening to me? Why is that person suffering? And that's like an old feeling I had. I haven't had that feeling in a long time. And when I had that feeling, I immediately heard Christ say that everybody has their own set of circumstances. No two people on earth, as many of us as there are, do not have the same set of circumstances. What I go through is meant for me to learn. What you go through is meant for you to learn. But at the same time, we're all striving for the same things. And for the most part, we've all been exposed to the same kind of either upbringing, advertisement, cultural norms, all of that. And then we are all different, and then we are all the same again. It really started to hit home over the weekend. It just started to hit home. And while I was still thinking, before I could get back to this person, they immediately felt bad for telling me because they felt vulnerable. They know that because I didn't respond right away. And that's not why I didn't respond. I just didn't respond because it took me a few days to catch up. So when we finally did speak, she says to me, well, I don't blame you for not talking to me. I said, wait, what? Blame me for not talking to you? Yeah, well, who would want to talk to me and hear that? And I said, that's not why I didn't talk to you. I got busy and I needed time so that when I do talk to you, I can hopefully say something useful for both of us. But we're so impatient. And when we are impatient and we want everything right away, we lose half of the experience. So I thought to myself, well, what could I have said that would have made anything different? If anything, all that happened to me was I took on just hearing it, feeling what I felt. Thank God, say to me, everyone has their own set of circumstances. Because there's a woman, her name is Patty, and it's Kogutek, K-O-G-U-T-E-K. I don't know if I can butchered her last name. But she coined a phrase called the guilt sponge, that we are guilt sponges. And she says, happiness is not a gift, but a skill. And when you really think about that, we think of happiness as a gift, and we think when we're not happy, we're being punished. But then when we are happy, we punish ourselves for being happy. Why am I so happy? Well, look at so-and-so suffering and so-and-so suffering, and you start going through this whole thing in your head. But that term, the guilt sponge, we have been taught throughout our lives to be perfect, find the perfect partner, someone who's 10 this, the top 10 that. And another thing she said was we use the emotion of guilt to pressure us into action. So when Christ said to me years ago, say yes when you want to and no when you want to. Not need to, not have to. Energy you bring to it isn't going to serve that well. You're better off serving yourself well so that somebody else who wants to do that can do it. It's really interesting how fast we can hurt ourselves and take away our own energy without even knowing we did it. It's like, boom, and then there you are standing there going, oh, my God, what did I just pressure that we put on ourselves in the background, not in the forefront, but in the background when we're happy. We start, like, searching. Our brain starts going through all this stuff trying to figure out, well, what do we have that isn't working? Because we need to balance ourselves because we can't handle that level of happiness. Really think about happiness is not a gift, but a skill. It's not a gift. It's a learning to be validated through yourself, not from the outside in. It's learning that you made individual choices along the way that nobody knows about. That even you didn't think about, well, I'm making an individual choice right now. You just did what's best for you along the way. So when Christ says we each have individual circumstances, care of yourself every day. It's like if you, and I know it's going to be a weird analogy, but it's true. You know, you walk around and you haven't showered for a couple of days because you were busy or you were putting it off or you just, you know, didn't want to. And you're walking around, you're just taking care of things and you think everything's normal. You don't even know what you don't know. And then you take a shower and you feel lighter, not just cleaner, lighter. And you feel like, gosh, I feel really good. That was great. Why did I put that off? I see it in kids, like early teens, because they go through all that weird stuff and they, you know, they go from us taking care of them to them learning how to take care of themselves. And one of those things is something as simple as taking a shower and feeling refreshed, because it sets a reset button somehow in you without you even knowing. But it's part of self-care. It's an individual choice. And as they get older, they learn that. Like, oh, I'll take a hot bath. That will relax me. That's where that comes from. But when did you ever hear a 12-year-old say that? They never say that. But you hear older people say that because they've learned that individual choices of self-care go a long way. We don't think about how far-reaching it is to take care of ourselves, and that's why we put it off. But really, we're putting off that happiness. And it's like holding our breath until we can breathe. But you can breathe right now. I don't care how busy the day you're going to have today is going to be. You're already okay. You're already okay. Today has a subset of things you're going to do, and you're going to do it. I always think, if I died, nobody would do that. Nobody would miss what I had to do. The only person it's important to is me. Really think about that. Any of us left this planet. The planet's going to go on with or without us. No matter what we have to do today. So whatever you do for your own sake, do it because it means something to you. That's having self-understanding. That's having care for yourself. Acknowledging that, hey, you know what? I exist and this is what I'm doing with my existence. You know, when I hear people who say, just be, that means, how do I just be? We just are. Well, okay, how do we just are? I never, you know, when I hear those things, they make me feel like I'm in an abyss, like I don't know what to choose. Because we are just being and we are just are because that's who we are. But how are we going to navigate? Nobody drives your soul but you. So when you're happy, what would be the self-talk in your head? Wow, this feels good. It took me some time to get here. Some days weren't easy, but I know that I'm going to have some days that aren't easy. But I'll be okay. I've handled a lot of those by now. I've got good experience in dealing with things that maybe not so crazy about. But not giving up on the fact that you can sustain happiness. That guilt sponge filled with water. Squeeze the guilt sponge. Get all that junk out. I love that term. And I was like, whoever came up with that term, I have to find that person. Because I love when that understanding is talked about. That's how I found there's a man named Reverend Terry, and he's at the Santa Anita Church in Arcadia, and I have grown to love this man. But how did I meet him? Right after I wrote the book Little Wing, and, you know, I was trying to get speaking engagements, and, you know, I wasn't very good at it, and I had just gotten remarried, and my husband was sick. He had complications from leukemia. And we were having issues, and we were in the hospital all the time. And that's when I wrote Origins of Truth in my sleep then. Sometimes I was crying while I was typing, and other times, and he had four kids, I had two, we had six kids together. So, you know, 4 months into the marriage, I'm with six kids, and he's getting sick, and I had just left my job. He was going to work and take care of the family and write. Well, that didn't happen. I wrote, I took care of the family, but I also had to take care of him. And I went into my retirement. I sold my car. I sold everything I had. And by the time it was all done, I was in debt, which I'd never been in debt before. I was left with a lot of debt. I had to find money to print the books, and it was crazy. But in my core, I was happy. I don't know how I just knew what I was doing, whatever it was, whatever was happening in my life. Because it was after I saw Christ, I knew that there was a purpose. So I'm driving to pick up one of the kids. I was with Sterling that day, and we were driving to go pick up one of the kids from school, and I saw this quote, and I can't remember the quote, but it was in front of this church. And I go, who wrote that quote? And I said, can you just stop the car? I want to run into church and see if anybody's there. And I found an office, and there was a receptionist, and she got me the person. I said, whoever wrote that quote, I need to talk to them. And she looked at me like, what? I said, just can I please? So she brings me this man, and it was Reverend Terry. And I brought a copy of my book with me, and I was standing there, and I said, please, I just want to ask you, what were you thinking, or where did you get that quote from? And he started to talk to me, Sterling away to go get one of the children, and Reverend Terry and I spoke for like 3 to 4 hours. We didn't move from those two chairs, not even to go to the bathroom. We just sat there. And I met a person who spoke my language, but I didn't have anywhere else to speak that language. And I appreciated that no matter who he was outside of those conversations we had, that was none of my business. Somebody, the inkling of understanding that we can be happy. And sometimes circumstances don't allow us to do the things we may think are ours, or we try to live within the norms of society, that we are true to ourselves first, that nobody owns our souls, that anything we are meant to do or have to do, that's between us and God. And that got challenged while I knew him, or gets challenged on and off. But then when I bring up the topics that are challenging, see that underneath it, it's because nobody wants to hurt other people. And there's a wide margin of hurt compared to the wide margin of happiness that could be had as a result. And I thought, he doesn't have happiness guilt. He doesn't have it. Now, he feels, but he's thought them all the way through to the point where he can see the balance. And then I found out that a lot of people reconcile their happiness by understanding the limitations of others. But as time went on through him, I also learned that fear can creep in at any time in your life. Fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt can come in at any time. And they will try to erode your happiness. And I witnessed that. And I learned how to speak to it. So I thought, okay, now we're talking about just flat out feeling guilty. Well, when we do something that isn't okay, guilt is going to come in because it can't help it. Now we know that we ourselves aren't being true to ourselves. So now we're dealing with a real feeling, not a perceived feeling. But when we are happy and we feel guilt and we haven't compromised ourselves in any way, that's what we were taught. So there's a difference in guilt, just so you can see. But guilt is an emotion. And something happens to you, you win something, you get a raise, you get a promotion, you buy a new house, you buy a new car. And there's always that person that comes up to you and goes, well, it must be nice. I've had people say that to me at speaking engagements. Like, well, it's easy to say what you're saying when you're like a millionaire behind a gated community. I'll never forget it. I'm so shocked when they said that. I thought, what about me projected that when I'm 2 months behind in my rent so that I can come and speak. But what I was dealing with was their guilt being dumped on me for what they perceived me to be. But I knew in my heart money didn't define me. I knew where my money went. I spent it on doing this work. Too, so I didn't feel bad. I just thought at first it was kind of funny because they said it to someone who worked for me at the time, and I was pretty surprised. But I thought everyone sees the world through their own lens, but I don't need to react to how they see the world and then feel bad about who I am. And how would I have felt if I was living in a gated community and was a millionaire, whatever they tried to throw at me? But there's that acceptance of saying that about people, because they're happy. Not only will we not let ourselves be happy, but we're going to take it away from anyone we can. Think about that. We do it all the time. So when you get what you want, whatever it is, or you do what you want and you finally are like on pace, on schedule, feel that balance, just take a deep breath and thank yourself. Because when you're thanking yourself, you're also thanking God, because we are all a part of God. And then God says, oh, wow, okay, you got that. Ooh, time for some, you know, more interesting lessons. And they'll challenge you. That's why people are scared to be happy, because they think the other shoe's going to drop. Like, wow, I really finally felt happy, and then this happened. The day I got in the accident, that was like one of the most purest moments in my brain's history on earth, was me feeling like, okay, God, I think I did what you needed, and you know, if I go home now, I'm fine. I'm clean. I didn't want to die, but I'm good. I feel like I've done what you needed, what I needed to do. I'm good. And then I got in a car accident. In normal life, that looks like, oh, well, look what just happened to you because you were happy. But that car accident was the highlight of 2017 for me. It just totally took me back to that fork in the road. It made me say, hey, you know what? I'm still going to be here for a while, and this is what I really want to do. And I started looking for the people who can do it. And as a result of that car accident, now a year later, everything I thought would never have happened to me in my lifetime, or didn't even think of happening to me in my lifetime, happened as a result of the actions I took the very day I got in that car accident. The car was totaled, but I wasn't. That was just the car. Come and go. Money comes and goes. But you are with yourself everywhere you go, all day long, all your life. You have the inventory of everything you have ever done. You are the only person who knows that truth through your perception, through how it felt to receive things, through how it felt to share, give, help, be of service. You've done a lot of things, and let those things you have done serve you well. Represent your experience. Don't hide your experience. Don't hide what you think you're ashamed of and scared of and don't want anyone to know, because anything you hold erodes at that self-understanding and self-acknowledgement that you need to free up that space to be happy. I'm going to say that again. That one is about it. Everything you hold back, everything you're ashamed of, everything that you feel like you can't ever tell anybody, sit down somewhere today, say it out loud to God. Learn how to talk about it. Say it every day to God. Say it 100 times to God, because it's safe there. But as you start to learn to say the dialogue that's attached to your experience that you took in that way, that hurts you and makes you feel heavy and makes you feel like, well, yeah, they may like me, but if they knew this about me, they wouldn't like me anymore. Resource. He's not a judge. He's not going to do things for you. You're here to do those things yourself. But God is a resource. He's a resource. Think about that. Full of answers. And he loves our questions once we know what we're asking for. And we can't know unless we start asking for the things we think we want. But as we hear ourselves speak, you start to feel his love. And it's the only way to feel it. You can't just wait for yourself to feel it and then talk. Talk first from your heart, because that part of you is where you communicate. And you'll find the more you talk, the deeper and more details you have. You'll find that you start to feel comforted and you don't even know why. It's almost like you sit down and you have this long talk. You start to breathe like that. You start to feel like, wow, life really does have a sense of perspective. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do in this day, and this is what I'll create. This is the kind of energy I'm in right now. And let me see how that works for me. You start to feel like, hey, you know what? I'm starting to get myself. And I know that sounds funny because we think we're the ones who live with ourselves. We know who we are. But we actually start to think stuff like that. Like, hey, I'm starting to get myself. Wow, I never really saw myself as a person who did those things. But now that I'm talking about it, I am that person. And I did achieve in that in my life. Why did I just throw that under the rug? What's wrong with me that I did that to myself? How can I be a better resource for me? Because once you realize God is a resource, and then you start to see the connection between you and God, you now have been gifted seeing yourself as a resource. Then you just start talking to God, and you start blabbing, you can't stop. It's really good in life. It's there. It will always be there. Love never runs out. Happiness. Happiness is ours if we just don't poke holes at it and bully the happiness we feel. You guys have a great Monday. It's already over. What a fast show. I will see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.